Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship bends towards sundown as we head into our last draft of the day. And it's a real pleasure to talk to a guy that's a fun and absolute enjoyable Facebook contributor, a guy that comes on and talks a lot of smack and enjoys himself, but has been a successful player with us since the first year we came to Cincinnati some 5 years ago. David Leisure Suit, how are you today?
Wonderful, Farrell. Pleasure to be with you.
It is a pleasure to see you. You drafted for team number 9 in the Bengal division, and the rest of the division tonight awaits you for the draft that is upcoming. Now, you're going to go to the same spot?
Only if the money dictates it.
Okay.
I got $10 for round pick 9, whereas the first two picks in my draft went for $5.50.
So you've still got $9.90 in the bank. You started with Freeman, and then you came around with Ezekiel Elliott, and then you slammed wide receivers. Then you hit upon one of my favorite players that I want to talk about right now, Duke Johnson. Don't you love what you're seeing and hearing from the coaching staff with the Browns about Duke Johnson this year?
I love him as an RB3 and basically in a PPR format. I think he fills my role of where I was hedging him for Elliott with my second pick. Basically, I think he can contribute the early part of the season, and basically when Elliott comes back, I got Kareem Hunt in the 7th round right behind Duke Johnson, so I figure Duke Johnson or Kareem Hunt will fill in the flex spot when Elliott does come back.
That's exactly right. Now, a team that I'm enjoying participation with all their players, Rishard Matthews of the Tennessee Titans. I can't get enough Titans on my team. What is Matthews your guy in
well,
that receiver corps?
One of my evaluations of my team is I could have gone Rishard Matthews or Corey Davis. And for the first 20 or 30 minutes of my evaluation of my team, I was sort of upset with myself for not going Corey Davis in the home run play. But Rishard Matthews is a solid wide receiver 4 behind Jeffrey, Emmanuel Sanders, and Julian Edelman.
I'm not
really going to complain.
I said it all. You don't have anything to complain about. I've said it all offseason. Winston in Tampa Bay is a player I'm excited about. You not only got him, but you put him with Matthew Stafford. Do you see those guys starting equally, like a week-to-week thing based on the schedule, or do you think the guy to really bank on here is Winston?
Winston is the guy to bank on, in my opinion. Stafford I like because if Winston does fail with Evans drops passes and all that type of thing, Stafford's going to be consistent. He's been consistent for the last 5 years, and even without Megatron in the lineup, Stafford's been a viable starting quarterback in 12-team leagues.
We saw drafters after they took kickers and defenses really rally in the 19th and 20th round. You have my biggest bargain of the draft and my favorite player at the Tennessee Titans as Tywan Taylor. How much are you familiar with Taylor?
Taylor I'm familiar with because I did rookie drafts in Dynasty leagues for Scout earlier in the year, and Tywan Taylor was a guy that was taken. I think I've seen him play a couple of preseason games now, and he looks like he's already in the mold for a big season.
I agree.
And in round 19, there's nothing you can complain about.
He caught the first pass of yesterday's game against Carolina. The pass was behind him by Marcus. He adjusted on it. He made a great catch over the middle. This kid is from Louisville, Kentucky. He grew up in Nashville, came to Louisville High School. Now he's back in Nashville after going to Western. He's in a magic thing of I-65. You know, what players get to spend their career doing that? That's an easy adjustable period. I think that Tywan Taylor is going to be a starter for you before this season is over. Are you going to continue to jump on Facebook, talk a little bit about the KFFSC, and engage our people in Louisville who haven't had the pleasure to come up here and meet you and play against you?
I will always continue to boast this tournament. It's always one of my favorite things to do each year. One thing that's great about this is every year I get the best competition anywhere. Now, mind you, sometimes it hurts because there's like Dr. Brandon Hake always snipes my guys, but what can
yes,
you do?
Yes, there's a lot of good players.
But I've never lost to him, so it's all good.
Well, you've got a draft coming up here in 2 minutes, so let's go in and compete against him. David, it's a pleasure to have you. David Leisure Suit, everyone. Thank you
very much.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're coming to you from the Cincinnati Jack Casino. It's August 20th and the Cincinnati edition of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. We're joined at the controls by our always steady hand, our producer, Jake Hillman, who will be drafting in the 4 o'clock draft and who's already enjoying bourbon and a light lunch. Brandon Nagel is our first guest today, and he has been a consistent and contributing Cincinnati native who has played in our draft. Brandon, what year is this? Is this the fifth incarnation of you appearing here?
Yes, it is.
How'd you feel about your team this year? You drafted out of the number two position. We went Le'Veon Bell first.
Yeah, I like it. I thought the key this year was to be in the top two. That's where I really wanted to be at. The opening bid of 600 for the number one spot shocked me.
It did.
So
I think it shocked everyone.
So I knew I had to come strong on the second one, but very pleased with how much I paid for it.
I liked what you did with your draft. I saw that Isaiah Crowell in the second round was a little higher than a lot of drafters have given him, but he's also falling in around the 8th, 9th, 10th running back off the board. And if you wanted running back there, you had to take him. Then third round reversal puts you in a position of taking the the 35th player in the draft, and you came back with a wide receiver. You went for Edelman. How many passes, how many receptions you see out of Edelman this year?
I mean, even with Adam Cooks, I think he's going to just open Edelman up more.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's going to take anything from Edelman. So I think he's easily still 100-plus reception receiver. That's my opinion.
You were sitting between a couple of guys that were very, very good drafters. Bobby Sangerman joins us for his rookie season in the KFFSC, but he's certainly no rookie. And then to the your immediate right, you had Kirby and Melissa Barker, who are longtime successful drafters with us. I liked after you put in two running backs, you immediately began to hit receivers. Edelman was followed up by Landry and Crowder. I think we know what we expect from Landry, but my question is, with the quarterback change in Miami, do you like him even better?
Like him less.
Really? You like him less with Cutler?
I like him less with Cutler. Not a Cutler fan.
Uh-huh. Smoking Jay.
I think Jay Tannehill.
Smoking Jay.
I think Tannehill had a good rapport with Landry.
Uh-huh.
So with Cutler, you don't know what you're going to get yet. He may look to Devontae Parker.
Yeah.
You know, you might find something with Kenny Stills or Julius Thomas. So you really don't know.
Having to beat New England in that division, they're going to have to score a lot of points, so they're going to be finding both guys. So then Jamison Crowder, who again is a player that's shooting up boards, and I think we all are familiar with that player, and we expect him to have his best season so far this year.
Yeah, he was a receiver that I targeted that I really wanted coming in. I expect big things from him. I think Cousins is going to continue to prove the Redskins wrong and what they've tried doing with not giving him a contract.
Foolish economics.
I agree 100%. He should be given a contract. Not a fan of that team per se, but he's done everything he should do to get that contract. So I think he's going to go out there and really try to light it up this year, and I think Crowder will be the one to benefit from that.
Then you came back to hitting the running back position, Ware, Procise, and Hunt. Tell me, the guy I know the least about there is Hunt. What can you tell me about him?
So here's the thing with Ware and Hunt is I think Ware is going to start as the running back. I think Hunt, though, has the potential to be very good and take that position by the midway. You know that Kansas City is going to want to run the ball.
Sure.
So no matter who it is, they're going to put up numbers, in my opinion, and I think they'll both catch the ball. They like to throw out of the backfield. So, you know, in this league with it being PPR, I think that's key. And getting those guys is technically a third because I'm looking at them as one player. Whoever's going to start, that's who I'll use.
Staying with your draft, you – moaned and groaned a little bit when Kirby and Melissa grabbed Adam Thielen in the 9th round, and then you made what I think was the most impressive pick of the 9th round. I like him better than Thielen, and that's Zay Jones. If you watch Zay Jones in the early preseason, he looks like a finished, polished ball player, certainly no rookie out of East Carolina. He's a player on the podcast that Jake, Fetch, and I have celebrated even before preseason. You got to be very, very happy with how you bounced back from losing the Thielen pick.
Yeah, I was. I really thought, though, that I could get Thielen. I think Thielen's going to get 90-plus receptions this year.
Right.
I really thought picking at number two, I thought I could hit Thielen and get Zay Jones on the way back. They made a good pick, I thought, with Thielen, obviously, because that's where I was going next. But Zay Jones, they're going to have to throw the ball mm-hmm. up there in Buffalo. You know, they're going to be playing from behind a lot, I believe. So he has looked good, and with Watkins being traded unexpectedly, I think it's going to really benefit him.
Well, I'm very pleased that you're with us. I look forward to you having success this year, and I look forward to you coming down to Louisville and eventually drafting there. You know, you finished up your draft very, very strongly. Winston and Rivers are your quarterbacks. Jason Witten was one of your tight ends. You waited to the 20th round to get Evan Engram. I think you might be very, very proud of that. And Will Fuller, a player who's not going to be available to you early, is now on your team. And at Houston, they said he was having the best camp, that he really looked like he was in game shape to start the camp. When he returns in week 8, 6, whatever it might be, that could really give you a boost as we move forward. Brandon, thank you for being with us. It's always a pleasure to see you here.
Thanks, Farrell. I appreciate it. Love being here. And anyone who's not tried this, you really got to try it. It's awesome. It's a great experience. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. The Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Cincinnati Edition welcomes in its newest drafter. It's Greg McGuire from Toronto, Canada. Greg, thanks for being with us. How did you enjoy your first ever KFFC draft here at the Jack Casino in Cincinnati?
I had a great time.
You know, the main event is the stalwart of our entire operation. You've already promised for 2018 to join us in Louisville, and I think you've made some wonderful picks here, and I want to talk a little bit about them.
Sure.
You came in the Bengal division today. You came out of the number five spot.
I came out of the number five spot, which is unusual for me because I'm a cheapskate. I usually refuse to pay for a draft slot at all, and thought coming in that I was going to aim to pick about eighth. But had a little change of strategy in mind. I got it for $120.
So. You did it on the fly. $120 bid for your spots. Yeah. That'll come off your free agent bidding money.
Yeah.
That leaves you $880 to traverse the rivers of free agency.
Yeah.
It's a very impressive ball club in that you came in with Hopkins, and I love Hopkins in the second round. Hopkins, it gives you a first-round wide receiver that will be in the second round for you this year. I really liked your start. Then you went running back. You came in with Fournette and Lamar Miller. Now, any of these injury concerns with Fournette's foot at this point in time mean anything to you?
A little bit. I'm not overly concerned.
You pulled the trigger on him. It's a long season. What about Lamar Miller?
Lamar Miller. So I did have plans to get Dante Foreman, and I was scooped on him in round 14 by one pick.
So you believe in the handcuff situation?
Yes. Yeah, so I would have handcuffed him. I missed him by one pick. So Lamar Miller, I thought he was the best running back available, and I like to come out of the first four rounds two wide receivers, two running backs, or maybe a tight end in there. But that fulfilled my goal.
In our format, you have to start three wide receivers, and you've got some good ones. And I always tell everyone that you've got to reach for the players that you like. You obviously like Adam Thielen. You got him in the sixth round, highest I've ever seen him drafted. But that's okay because you had Jordan Matthews as your ninth-round pick. But I love your 10th-round pick, the player out of Detroit, Northern Illinois University, Kenny Galladay.
You've got to love that. Galladay's been going around there or just a little bit later, and I haven't been able to nab him until today. And so
congratulations.
Might have reached. Yeah, I finally got Galladay, so I was pretty happy with that. And I got six wide receivers in the first 10 picks because, of course, you got to start three.
Yeah.
And so I thought wide receivers a little bit more important here than maybe in other formats. So,
well, is your high-stakes drafting over for the year, or are you going home to Toronto and play some different leagues up there?
I got a lot of dynasty leagues, I've still got a few drafts to go, some rookie drafts. This is about my 10th of 16 drafts this year. So a lot of dynasty and IDP. It feels weird to not draft any defensive players.
Right.
I really wanted Luke Kuechly. He's still available.
yeah, you can't get him here.
I can't get him. And J.J. Watt's still out there. You know, it's like, well.
Well, we appreciate you traveling the miles and making the roads. And I think you're going to hit through Detroit, and you're going to go across the border, and you're going to hit something eventually called the 403, I believe, and make your way on to home. I wish you good luck and good fortune in the rest of your leagues next year. So you're telling me one team in the KFFSC, so we're taking 1/16th of your activity this year in fantasy football. We're going to move that number up next year. But I tell you what, we're damn lucky to have you and very proud that you came.
Thank you very much. And I'm hoping to be the top non-American in this tournament.
Well, you will. You certainly may be, although we do have a gentleman drafting from Hong Kong.
Oh, no.
So you guys will have to fight it out.
I do have competition.
Okay. Thank you very much,
All right. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the KFFSC podcast here in Cincinnati. We're being joined by Stephen Holley, a former champion, also has won our big payback league a few years back. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing quite well. Always an exciting time. You know, always look forward to this time. And I like that the Cincinnati venue here opened up. I think it's about the fourth year that it's been happening. So I like to get a week earlier before the big thing a little bit.
Gives us a lot more information, also gives us a lot more chances to draft, which always helps out. Looking at the board that happened earlier today, one of the things we talked about, Jordan Howard going the eighth pick. What's your feelings on that?
Especially in a league like this where, you know, receivers are at a premium, looking at the guys I went afterwards as far as A.J. Green, Jordy Nelson, Michael Thomas, probably would have wanted to go with a guy like that rather than Jordan Howard. Now, if it's like a standard league, you know, Jordan Howard, ninth or eighth overall, wherever he went, is quite nice. But for me personally, I'm definitely going usually receiver first round, if not also the second round. So it was kind of interesting. But if you believe in a guy,
well, that's the thing. And that's, we look at this board, I think that's one of the things you pointed out, how different people went different routes. What did you notice, like, early on with different teams? Not necessarily players, but what they did with
it. It seemed like it was a little grouped up as far as, like, a couple teams would, like, the third and fourth spot would go running back heavy. And then you look in the back of the draft, it seemed like 10, 11, and 12 are going receiver heavy. It's kind of different, not what I've really been accustomed to the last 3 or 4 years when, you know, the whole – receiver boom kind of happened. It seems like there's been more of a balance coming this year.
One thing I noticed, and I don't know about you, but it used to, you kind of went, like you said, running back, then maybe a receiver or whatever. It's almost like people with the zero running back, you take a big group, top three or four, all wide receivers, all running backs, but then you have to come back in the middle rounds and kind of compensate for that.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, obviously, whatever your strategy is going to be, if you – first 3 or 4 rounds are going to go receiver heavy. I mean, you just kind of have to hit home runs on the rounds 5 through 7. You know, you got to take your chances on maybe a guy like Kareem Hunt. That's, you know, kind of a hot name right now that I see in both leagues so far being drafted going about the 7th round. I mean, you just kind of have to, you have to put a lot of trust in guys like that rather than having a, like, true RB1 or RB2 on your team with going receiver heavy. So that's just what you have to do. You have to, if you prepare yourself for that, you just have to know what guys that you're going to want to take.
And as people know, in our format here, you get to draft for your use your free agent money for your draft spot. And that really does change your draft philosophy. I don't know how many other drafts you draft in, but how do you take in a fact that you get to choose your own spot?
I definitely like that aspect of it, especially being in a high stakes league. You know, you don't, you know, have to really you don't have the randomness of a draft spot. Like, you get to choose and get to prepare in your own way of certain guys that you like, not just for the early rounds, but for who you like in the later rounds that you know where your spot's going to be to get those guys. Honestly, up until a couple of years ago, my father and I, we always draft together. We'll be drafting at one of the 4 o'clock drafts. We used to just whatever spot we liked, but last year we actually, we spread it around to get some different guys on different teams, and, you know, we had success, which, of course, in your later rounds, it kind of becomes like, who do you like, who do you don't like? So you're after about round 12, you're going to get kind of the same guys on all the teams.
Sure.
And if you can hit on a couple of those guys, you know, you're going to do real well in this format, in this league.
Well, kind of an off-fantasy topic here, a question I got for you. Always interested in how people got involved with fantasy football, if they're football players, just football fans. Or what brought you to fantasy football?
Well, I think with, and also a lot of people, I actually started with fantasy baseball. Like, okay. And that was in my very, very younger years when I was 13, 14 years old, when I was actually involved in baseball. And then kind of like how it's become, just kind of got bored with the sport and just naturally transitioned to football. And once I got in high school, you know, buddies, you know, we did fantasy football leagues and, you know, a lot of camaraderie, you know, seeing guys at school and stuff like that. And then just kind of took it like seriously more and more each year. So
as much as the NFL wants or whatever they want to say, the reason the boom has happened, I believe fantasy football is a large reason that NFL is the number one sport in our country now. Well, thanks for joining us today. Good luck later and good luck next week. I'm sure you're joining us in Louisville, which we hope, I think there's still some spots open. Hope everybody joins in. Nice to talk to you, Steve. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, this is Fetch back with you doing some podcast here in Cincinnati. I'm here with Matt drafting here today in one of the divisions. I think this is his second year in Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about your experience last year and this year in the draft here in Cincinnati.
Last year was my first year here at the KFFSC, and I have done some high stakes in the FFPC before. But this was a totally different experience. The rules here are a little bit different. So coming in last year, I wasn't prepared for wide receivers to go quite so quickly. This year coming in, I had a little bit more expectation. So I went a little wide receiver heavy at the beginning this year.
Okay. A good strategy that's taken a lot here. One of the things I always like to talk to people who are fairly new to the KFFSC, what do you think about the draft slot in the ability to draft to your own position? Can't get mad at whatever spot you get here in the league.
I think it's a nice caveat to the league. You can basically plan out your strategy a little bit better ahead of time, knowing that you can go in there picking that draft spot. So if you're looking at the draft and where things are going, you can kind of plan out who you like, where they're going, and the ability to bid on your spot. You know, depending on how much free agent dollars you wanna spend, you can get exactly what you want, which I like.
Yeah, no, it's a unique thing that we have, and I think most people, once they get used to it, really enjoy it. Tell us a little about your team. It looks like you picked in the third spot and went Antonio Brown. I think most people would do that in the third spot. What else do you really like about your team?
Like I said, I went wide receiver heavy. I like my first four wide receivers really well. I went Antonio Brown. And then 3, 4, and 5 rounds, I went Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Kelvin Benjamin. So I feel like I've got a really solid start there. Got my flex right there on the first 5 rounds. And DeMarco Murray is a player that I really like, but I am a little concerned about the ability or his possibility of losing some touches to Derrick Henry this year. So I kind of loaded up a little bit more on running backs later in the draft, trying to make sure that I had some, you know, some backups there in case that were to happen. Overall, I really like the value I got with Darren McFadden in the 11th round.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Do you really feel like with Zeke being out a few weeks, 6 probably, that you can use him as maybe even an RB2 for your if you have to?
I think he very well could be my RB2 for the first beginning part of the season. They do have a tough schedule at the start, but I think that without offensive line, he's got a chance to put up some really big numbers, and I'm hoping to capitalize on that.
Well, me and Farrell were high all year on Tyreek Hill. So getting him in the fourth round, I think that's pretty good value here. You talked about DeMarco Murray. Not many people in that three spot are going to have DeMarco fall that far. He's going early, you know, top six picks in the second round. So, you know, that's pretty good value. Just kind of looking here, what did you do tight end-wise?
I'm Cincinnati guy. I love Tyler Eifert as a tight end. He's a touchdown hog. I mean, he's in the red zone. I mean, if they're inside the 20-yard line, Andy Dalton's going to be looking for Tyler Eifert all year long as he can stay healthy. I really like him as a touchdown guy. Maybe not get me quite as many receptions, which is not quite as important here in the KFFFC as it is in the FFPC. But here in the in Kentucky, I think he's a real good pick there in the seventh round.
Well, yeah. There's a group of tight ends there with him and Ertz, and I think a lot of people can get value out of there. Being a local Cincinnati guy, can you share with our listeners any knowledge here about the Bengals? I know after A.J. Green, that second spot kind of, what do you think is going to happen in Cincinnati with that wide receiving core?
Well, you know, he's a guy that's going undrafted right now, and I didn't take him even myself. But if you look at last year, he really put up quite a decent numbers when AJ went down, and that was Brandon LaFell. You know, people kind of make fun of Brandon LaFell when they hear his name, but he'll put up some numbers. If it becomes a necessity for him to be used, he will be used. And I think if they have sustained some injuries like they have in the past, whether it be AJ Green or Tyler Boyd or one of those guys, I really think you need to be keeping your eye on him in the waiver wire this year if you see some injuries there.
As so many people remember his success in New England, but they do have some young guys here in Cincy with both Boyd and Ross, and I know Ross with his injury probably not going to come on this year, but wonder how Tyler Boyd and him are going to battle out for that slot and second spot. Keeping with Cincinnati, do you have any thoughts on running back Joe Mixon? I know he's now the backup. Is he going to take over that spot for Jeremy Hill, or is Hill going to fight it off? I know Jeremy looked decent in the preseason game last night.
Well, I did take Jeremy Hill in the 14th round, and one of the reasons is because I know Marvin Lewis is stubborn. He's not going to really use the running back, you know, the new guy as much as some of the other coaches might be willing to lean on him. I think Mixon is going to get worked in right away because he's way too talented not to be. Jeremy Hill is still going to be the starter, I think, for a little while. And again, I'm trying to capitalize on those early guys and hopefully have to play. I might have to play the waiver wire later in the season, but capitalize early, getting off to a good start, maybe a 4-1 or 5-1 start would be really headed in the right direction.
Well, Matt, we appreciate you joining us. I appreciate the information about Cincinnati, especially at the KFFC. We have a little bit of a local bias. We always talk about with Louisville, Kentucky players, also with Tennessee Titans and Colts. And now that we've moved to Cincinnati, a little Bengal bias sometimes. I think sometimes the Bengals go a little higher up here than they would other places. But we appreciate the information. We wish you good luck. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you, Fetch.
Hey, man, you still got that iguana? 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 Hey, man, how long has it been? You still got that iguana? I've thought about ringing you up, but I've been busy, man. But sometime we ought to grab a couple of drinks and get caught up. Remember that time that I came up and you showed me that iguana that you keep in
the... Hey, this is Fetch back here on the KFFSC podcast, doing a little player profiles here in Cincinnati. We got just got done with our 4 o'clock drafts. We had some really interesting picks there. I'm here with Michael Simon. He just drafted, actually in the same draft I did. Looks like he had a quality team. He picked in the two spot, correct?
Correct.
All right, how long have you been doing this here, Michael?
This is my fourth year.
Okay, here in Cincinnati. How long have you been fantasy football, just in general?
I've been fantasy football for well over 20 years.
So you're a veteran. You're well into the game. What interests you about fantasy football? What got you involved?
Well, as a kid, you know, even growing up, this is before they even had, like, you know, had all the internet and all that. So I would do I would get that Monday paper and go through and be the commissioner for all my middle school friends, and we'd do the get all the stats out of the paper, and, you know, so I just pretty much have been addicted to it ever since then. So it's been a long time. I played it every single year.
Looks like you got a quality team here. I'll ask you a couple questions. First, you had to be ecstatic to have Jay Ajayi fall to you there in the second round.
Absolutely. I mean, my whole strategy there was to coming in was to take was to bid whatever I needed to get one or two. I feel like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell are in their own class. Just the amount of points that pile up in receiving receiving yards, I think, separates him from the rest of the field. So I felt like, you know, going in that that would be my strategy, was to bid whatever I wanted on first or second and get one of those two and then build my team from there. I was happy to have a JE fall on my lap in round two. I feel like he's a back end first round, early round second guy, so I was happy to have him there for sure. Obviously, going running back, it's not quite. You're not going to quite get the receivers you were looking for, but you adjust. I looked at some of those middling receivers like Edelman and Sanders. I feel like, you know, they're good for 6, 7, 8 catches a game, you know. So build my receiving core around those guys.
Many people have won leagues with Julian Edelman as their PPR guy. Jordan Reed, a little bit of a risk. Any worried about her injury or anything there?
I was explaining that to my girlfriend here, who's pretty new. I'm teaching her the ropes and telling everything. I was like, in a draft like this with so many quality players, like good players, like my competition's real tough. I was explaining to her that there's going to be a lot of good picks. So I like to go for high ceiling guys. I feel like he's very injury risk, but he's also potentially, you know, he could get 10 to 12 touchdowns very easily. So I know he's a high-risk, high-reward type player, but I like to go high-ceiling guys in a draft like this where I know there's going to be so much good competition there.
And you really put a pain to me because you went with a good backup tight end, which basically you could play as an X position. Guys like me who were waiting, you killed me taking two tight ends earlier, but like you said, with Reed with the high upside. Jimmy Graham's a guy that's got high upside as well.
Right, and that was my strategy too, was – a lot of times, you know, you're going into this, you're thinking you're going to be playing, you know, four receivers possibly. But I prefer, you know, if you can get a high-end guy like Jimmy Graham as your tight end too, you can play him in the flex spot as well. So you can play three receivers and two tight ends. Or you can mix and match depending on your matchups. So I loved having a guy like Graham, who I think is potentially a top five tight end as well, along with Reed.
Really, Jordan Reed, Jimmy Graham, they're not your traditional tight ends. They're the pass-catching guys of the now, who can put up the good numbers. Of your late, like you said, you went running back, and then tight end, so you had to kind of look for some value late. Of your guys, Shepard and some of your other ones, who do you really like late like that? Who are you really glad you got out of those guys?
A guy that I really look for upside was Corey Coleman from the Browns. I feel like he's got the potential. The quarterback situation is not the best, but I love his – you know, his talent on the field, and then his potential to, you know, have volume. He have a lot of targets, and
sure,
he's got Brett over there to take some pressure off of him. I really feel like Coleman's a nice dark horse sleeper. And Shepard, I was worried about the injury, but he's bounced back from it. He's already back at practice, and he's looked okay with it. So I figure Shepard's a guy that can you know, a nice wide receiver 4/5 that can fill out your roster too, with potential.
Any tidbits you'd like to get us? I know you're around from the Cincinnati area. Don't know if you follow the Bengals or
I'm a big time Bengals fan.
Any tidbits you can get of guys that you think might be sleepers here in the Cincinnati area?
Well, I mean, Joe Mixon is obvious.
Sure.
I mean, absolutely. I would look at Mixon in, you know, rounds 4 in a redraft league. I mean, and then he's also got that keeper potential for future leagues, for people going into the leagues like that, where they, you know, you get to keep a guy for a couple years, and he's obviously got even more value. I did take Tyler Boyd in the 20th round here. So
right, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You got a battle kind of between him and LaFell. And I believe, I don't know, listening to some radio as it came up here, a lot of people think because John Ross missed some time that he may be down to the 4th
spot. It might take
a
little while for Ross to get you know, implemented in everything. But yeah, as far as I like the younger upside guys like a Boyd over. Like, but LaFell's a nice quality veteran to have on your team, but I look to get, you know, the younger guys involved. They're fresher. They're, you know, they got the potential, and I don't know. I just look at that more as somebody I'd rather have on my team than a.
So what you're saying is you're looking to win the whole thing. You don't just look at that winning week to week. You're looking at that late in the season, into the playoffs, guys that can really, you know, tear it up late, because that's got to have the big points once you're out of the division going against players from everywhere.
Absolutely, well, absolutely.
Looks like you have a solid team, so it was really fun drafting with you.
You too. You guys did great.
Hope maybe sometimes you get up to Louisville too. I mean, I really enjoy. I get to draft like 5 or 6 teams because so many times I get in a situation like I did today and had no tight ends left because guys like you had taken a risk and taken two, which, again, is a smart idea. There's so many different ways to do this.
Absolutely.
So many ways to get
you
the
You got to use different strategies, like I said. And when competition's this tough, when there's so many good quality players, you know, that you're in the league against, you got to do some things. You got to take some risks. You got to switch things up a little bit, you know. You can't always go by the book.
It's the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Cincinnati edition, and we are very excited to have 60 drafters with us today for our annual main event. But we're the most excited drafter to see made the trip south from Cleveland, Ohio, and that's Johnny Anderson. Johnny, welcome. How are you, brother?
Very good, thank you.
You are a wonderful Brown supporter. You've been a continued supporter of fantasy football. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
About 20 years now.
What has been the highlight of your career?
And I used to play in the old World Championship of Fantasy
Football. The Wyckoff.
Football. The Wyckoff, when Lenny Pepano and Emil Cadillac first started it. And in the year 2008, my greatest year, I was in first place in Wyckoff going into the last week. And I had two players that didn't have very good weeks in that last week, and I fell to third place. Very disappointing. I won $60,000 that year for finishing third in Wyckoff when I was in first place going into the last week.
That was a very impressive run.
That was a very exciting year, to say the least.
You know, you've seen a lot come and go. You've seen a lot of trends. One of the things that amazes me since I started playing fantasy football is just the knowledge that's shared among so many drafters. Remember when you used to show up and in a 12, even in a format as competitive as this one is, 12 drafters, you could see that there were some that were unprepared, did not have the information. All that's changed today, hasn't it?
Oh, it definitely has. I mean, I remember first playing fantasy football. We would check the stats in the USA Today to look at the numbers in USA Today to tabulate the scores when we first started playing it, you know. And then, of course, the computer era came along. But before that, you know, we'd have to look in the paper to actually compute the scores, to total up the numbers to see who won the game.
You were brought to us by our dear friend Kim Reisinger, and I'm so glad that you've returned to us. And, you know, people that play fantasy football, sometimes they talk about how, and I don't understand it when they say this, you're a big Browns fan. I'm really a huge fan of where any of my clients that I represent are playing, but I always remember the glory days of the Raiders is when I was a kid. And in that situation, you know, fantasy football has no effect on fandom, but with you it does. We have to schedule some of our drafts with you around the Cleveland Brown preseason schedule because you're not only at all the league games, you're at the preseason games as well.
That's right. I have had season tickets to the Cleveland Browns for 37 years. Of course, the last 20 haven't been that pleasant, but I've missed maybe two or three games in my 37 years of season tickets going to Cleveland. I live in Southwest Ohio, so I've had season tickets since 1981. And, of course, you know, when I'm at the games, I oftentimes don't know what my fantasy scores are because I'm actually at the home games while I'm watching the fantasy stats right across from me at Cleveland Stadium, where I sit on the 10-yard line, and I look right across, and they have the fantasy numbers. So all the games I'm playing, I'm tabulating the numbers in my head generally. Then I go back to my car, and I see how close I am to – figuring out whether I'm ahead or behind.
When it comes to numbers, one of the things that we've been shocked, and we really, it's really not that shocking, but we knew that the bidding for the spots would be aggressive this year when our owners use their free agent budget to bid for the draft spots. We were so surprised when Bobby Sangerman of Pennsylvania shouted out $600 for the number one spot, and we're seeing that. Even in our second draft here, have you picked out a spot that you want to go in the next draft?
Yeah, I have. I sort of tend to like to want to draft near the end of the round because, especially in this format with third round reversal, I'd rather get three of the top 25 players rather than pick at the top of the draft. I don't really trust Le'Veon Bell this year. He's holding out. Antonio Brown's probably a safe pick, but there was one year where I took Antonio Brown in your format, and that's the year Ben Roethlisberger got hurt.
Yes.
So I like to try and maximize value when I first start to draft, and spending that kind of money at the beginning, I think that's sort of an unwise investment.
It's teamwork, and all guys are tied together with the teams, and if somebody goes down and somebody emerges like a Tyreek Hill, you got to have some money to shoot at him. So I kind of like your strategy, too.
Especially in fantasy football, there's always a one running back or one wide receiver that comes out of nowhere that either nobody's drafted or it's lower on the roster. So, you know, you want to maximize your picks as many as you can because you may hit that one or two players that actually carry you over and will explode and win you a championship, you know. And so, or if he comes out of the free agent market, you better have enough money to be able to bid on them. And like you just said, Farrell, if you waste all your money on a high draft choice, you won't have the money to be able to bid on that guy.
For the young man sitting across from you and to my right is Mr. Jake Hellman, and this is his first foray into high-stakes fantasy football. For a guy who has 20 years' experience, a guy who's won $60,000 in one contest, give him the 15-second advice that he can carry into the draft and run to the championship.
Well, in this particular format here, it's point per reception. You know, you want to wait on drafting quarterbacks. You don't want to draft a quarterback in the first 7 or 8 rounds, not really. You've got 7 spots that you've got to fill, you know, and if you're taking a quarterback, you know, all your projected really high point scorers are going to go in those first 7 rounds. If you're taking a quarterback, you know, that's one less position available that you're going to be able to get while quarterbacks are deep. You know, you maximize value by delaying on quarterbacks.
That's good advice, and today I was shocked at some of our veteran drafters who in the 4th round we saw Brady, Rodgers, and Matt Ryan come off the board in the 4th round, and I was a little surprised.
When I see that, I'm happy that people are taking quarterbacks. Yeah. I hope everybody takes a quarterback because I'll be the last one generally in all these drafts in this format to take a quarterback, especially with only 4 points per touchdown pass also. In this format,
as
and
we
have to start 3 wide receivers.
As we go to 5 divisions in our August 20th Cincinnati version of the KFFSC, they've been Bengal, Bearcat, Bobcat, and one other. But in our 5th one, Buckeye. But in our 5th one, we have brought the title, and you're going to be very happy of this. You'll be drafting in the Browns division today. So in honor of Johnny Anderson, our fifth division has been named the Browns division. Johnny, we're so proud to have you here. Hope you consider coming to Louisville next weekend, next year. We want you around as much as you have the time to spend with us. Thanks for being with us.
I'll plan on being part of your group for as long as I'm around and can still play fantasy football. I'm honored that you're honoring me and the Browns. And oh, by the way, we're going to be better this year. We're definitely going to win more than one game.
Yes, sir.
Because we've beefed up our offensive line and our defensive line. And when you do that in football, you have a really good chance.
Well, stay with us a moment, because there was a player that went a little later in the draft than I thought he would. I'm looking at him. I think he was the first pick of the 9th round as I'm looking over here, and that was Duke Johnson. What's your opinion on Duke Johnson this year?
The Browns have moved Duke Johnson more. He's going to be more of a slot receiver rather than a running back, so he's going to be on the field at the same time as Crowell.
I
think that's going to increase the value of both players. Duke Johnson, I think, is a sleeper in PPR because he's very elusive. You know, they can get him to run the football on reverses, throw a little dump passes out. I think it's Duke Johnson is in for a really big year. We're definitely going to have improved quarterback play, and because we have a better offensive line, so we're going to have more time. You're going to be able to run the ball. It's going to open up the offense, and I think Duke Johnson's got a lot of ability receiving and running.
Crowell in the 2nd, I thought was a little high. Johnson in the 9th, I think, is a lot late. Browns on your roster could give it a different result for you this year.
Crowell's a little bit too early in the 2nd round, but I'd say maybe, you know, if you get him in the 4th round, late 4th round, then that's real value, but not the 2nd.
Johnny Anderson will be looking at value when he takes to the draft table at 4 o'clock today, and you're coming back for 6:30. 2 drafts here in Cincinnati, John, in this year's KFFSC. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you very much.
Baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. Ooh, baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. Ooh, baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. Ooh, baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. Ooh, baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. We got downtown Lulu, Shively too, Clifton Heights and the Louisville Zoo. Ooh, baby, you know it's true, born and living in the 502. We got Farmington, Locust Grove, Highlands, Kroger, and River Road.
Welcome to the hometown of Nicole Scherzinger, and definitely the first place to put cheese on a burger. And while we're at it, I think we invented barbecue. And how about lasagnas from here? Let's make that true, too. Our climate's just right. We get all 4 seasons, and also 5 weekdays and 2 on the weekends. If you're looking for a place above ground, highway adjacent, have I got a spot that meets those expectations?
Baby, what a thrill, living our lives in Louisville. We got multiple rallies, Papa John, Kim.
Jimmy the Duck sing your favorite songs. Ooh, baby, you know it's true. Born and living in the 502. We got Preston Highway, Fort Knox, Crescent Hill, and Big Rock.
But I don't care for St. Matthews.
I don't care for St. Matthews. I don't care for St. Matthews. I don't care for St. Matthews.
Baby, what a thrill. Now we're back in Louisville. We got the Ford plant, Germantown, St. Joe's picnic, underground sounds. Baby, you know it's true. My favorite three numbers are 502. We got Hartstown Road, Fall City Beer, a park named for Mr. Belvedere.
That's right, we're in the City of Angels, the precipice from which civil society dangles. A healthcare hub and a trash food mecca. We can breed ya, birth ya, nurse ya, and wreck ya with alcohol, cigarettes, and fried chicken. Cash your paycheck at the track and bet on six to win. Tourists downtown, slugger bats swinging. Hoping a mob of teens will rob them on their way to 610. Hoping there's not a fee for rocks and that's no match for bet. Watching a ton of folks get punched at the L.E. Museum. There's just a certain volatility to Louisville biz. But nobody's a villain here cause everyone is. St. Matthews.
I don't care for St. Matthews. I don't care for St. Matthews. I don't care for St. Matthews.
I just don't really like St. Matthews.
In Louisville.